Wake Up with Darren, Kerry and Sky.
As per usual on a Wednesday around about this time, the good professor joins us. Professor Tulio de Oliveira joins us from CRISP at UKZN. He is one of the world's top virologists, virus hunters and bioinformaticians. Good morning, Prof.
Hey, good morning, Darren, Prof. Kerry and Sky.
Yes.
So we're going to jump straight into the questions
morning, Prof.
today, Prof. This one is from Johan Rambu, and he says, can we talk about the rapid antigen test and the PCR test? Is there a difference between them, and are they both equally reliable?
Okay, that's a very good question. Yeah. Because we are being asking that quite often now, okay? So let me just explain to you that the antigen test, which is the one that you do in your nose, okay, or in your nasopharyngeal swab, yeah, and then after that you put in a buffer, and after that it go to a rapid system that can give you the result in half an hour. Yeah, that one it's relatively very accurate. Okay, why it is very accurate is because you are looking for the virus itself, for the antigen of the virus. Yeah, the one that is not very accurate to detect current infection is the antibody test, the one that you use a small drop of blood, because that one it can detect like old infection also. So that's the one that's not very accurate. Yeah, of course that the difference between the antigen and the qPCR test is that the qPCR test is more sensitive. What it means in simple terms, it means that can also detect the presence of the virus on people using the same sample, a nasopharyngeal swab, that had lower level of the virus. Yeah, but in general, the antigen test, it is a very good test and also give the results much quicker and cost half of the price of the qPCR. Yeah.
Okay. Prof, I got a question here off Twitter at policy.holder. At policyholder, we are in a third wave here in Gauteng. Is it inevitable that KZN will also go through the third wave?
Okay, that's also a good question. You guys have very good questions today. Yeah, and if we don't change anything, yeah, the history will basically repeat itself. Yeah, what it means, we are coming now to a holiday season. Yeah, if we have massive number of travelers from Gauteng, of course that the people that are infected in Gauteng will come to KwaZulu-Natal and potentially could cause a third wave. Understanding that's not only travelers, we also have a big harbor in Durban. So for example, here in the medical school, we are just in the entrance of the harbor. And we also have very large traffic of trucks and goods. Yeah. So if we don't change anything in KwaZulu-Natal and we continue socializing and partying and holiday and big gatherings, then yes, we are very likely to see a third wave here.
Prof, some people are saying a third wave is inevitable, irrespective of non-pharmaceutical interventions, that a third wave is a part and parcel of this, with the pandemic occurs in waves, that we're going to get a wave anyway. Is it realistic? Is there even a scenario where it's possible where KZN can actually avoid that wave at all, or are we just talking about mitigating the length and intensity of that wave?
So technically, KwaZulu-Natal, it is growing the number of infections. What it means at the moment, if we become more specific, it is a value that we call the reproductive number of infections. This means how many infections are caused by each one. At the moment, our reproductive number is above one, what it means that the number of infections is expanding in KwaZulu-Natal. Yeah, it is still at a much lower level than many of the other provinces, just to people to understand. Yeah, the first province that had a third wave was the Northwest. That was followed by the Free State and Gauteng. And you will remember in the last few weeks that we are talking that the third wave were likely to come by inland, by the middle of the country, because they didn't have a very large second wave. Yeah. Mm. And now it is moving to both the Western Cape, entering the Eastern Cape, and is starting to grow in KwaZulu-Natal. So if it is inevitable, it is inevitable that the infections will grow. But what we can do is to try to control the number of infections until do not overwhelm our health system, because that's the big problem, and that's what's happening in Gauteng at the moment. When the health system gets completely overwhelmed, it's not only people from COVID that will suffer, but if you have a car accident, or if you have accident, or if you need to go to cancer treatment, you may not have space in the hospital. And that's why it's very important, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, try to increase even the personal intervention. So, for example, in the last 2 weeks, in my family and I, we haven't been seeing anyone. We just keep weak and quiet at home, because that's the kind of things that can help to avoid the spread.
That's good advice.
And I've got a question here, Professor, from Doris Schutt. Doris says, is the Delta variant a variant of concern? What makes it concerning, and what are the chances that the Delta variant will come to South Africa?
Okay, so there is a lot of talk and concern around the world about the Delta variant. Yeah, so the Delta variant was the variant that caused most of the infections in India, and most of people will remember the very tragic images that came from India. However, India seems to have been controlled now, the second big wave. Yeah, they were in the second one. And we can see that the Delta variant can also be controlled with the same interventions that we have to the other variants. Yeah. At the moment, what we have found around like 40 genomes, what it means, 40 proven cases of the Delta variant in South Africa, but this is among like 9,000 genomes. So at the moment, we expect that variant to be at very low prevalence in South Africa. The one that it seemed to be dominating our second wave and our third wave was the same variant, which got the name now of Beta variant. Yeah. Why we worry about variants? Both the Beta and the Delta, the one that was identified in India, the one that was identified in South Africa, they are more transmissible than the previous lineages. Yeah. And some of them will break through infections, what means reinfect people more than once. But the good news that came at least from the last few weeks from a lot of research done in the UK, which at the moment is dominated by the Delta variant, is that the vaccines are still very effective against the Delta variant, and the same with the Beta variant that we have in South Africa. So what is crucial in the next in the next few weeks is to scale a lot of vaccination and try to curb a little bit the infection, so we have more people protected, so if they get infected, they don't end up in the hospital and do not overwhelm our health system.
Professor, we just got this WhatsApp through from Ben. Ben Dover wants to know, aside from obviously the deaths, is it a good thing that people get infected and recover? Wouldn't that help us to avoid a fourth wave?
I don't think that is a good thing, because the problem, most of people will recover. Yeah, up to 90-95% of people will be infected and will have mild symptoms. Mm. Yeah. But the problem is the ones that will have comorbidities or advanced age, yeah, that will die. And that's very devastating to whole families. One thing that the world realized that is just let the virus spread and create population immunity not only is not a smart idea, but is also against human rights, almost like a genocide, that you will let a lot of people die to get population herd immunity. So that is completely not acceptable at present, yeah. And that's why we should try to increase our interventions to try to protect not only our elderly or people with comorbidities, but also our health system. Otherwise, people will not get a place in hospital for other reasons.
Thank you, Professor.
To listen to these moments and anything else you might have missed, go to ecr.co.za and click on podcasts.